I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of The Memo on this Wednesday, January 27th, 2016. Brad Locke here with you, along with Emma Kent. Hey, Emma.
Hey, Brad.
You're back already.
I'm back. I know, I didn't expect to be back.
I guess you really are the new permanent host. Derek took me seriously when I said that he was going to be replaced.
No. I told you we'd make it happen.
Yeah, I know. No, just kidding. Derek's out today, has to tend to some stuff. So Emma is kindly filling in again. Thank you, Emma.
You're welcome.
Yeah, anyway. How are you? Good day so far?
Yeah, good day. So far, so good.
The day is young to
us, I guess, yeah.
As we talk right now.
Yeah.
In the morning.
It's just, 9:42.
A.M.
Still early.
Yeah. By the time people are listening to this, it's probably like, who knows what time. That's what's great about the podcast. Listen to it whenever you want.
On the go.
Yeah.
In your car.
Off the page.
Off the page, on the go. Hey, that's our ad slogan.
That's
how
our
about
slogan.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope you all have seen that. That's been kind of fun. We got some other stuff coming, by the way, promotional things with the podcast. It's going to be pretty fun.
Pretty Ellie's exciting. Giving us an ad in Mud and Magnolias.
Is she?
Half page.
What?
Thanks, Ellie.
Wow. We're going to be on glossy pages.
Yeah.
How about that?
Brad, I bet your face will look really good on a glossy page.
I don't know. It doesn't look good in print. I'm not sure if there's much hope for her. I guess glossy would be a better format.
It'll make it look like you're wearing makeup because it'll be shiny.
Probably should have done put some makeup on before that photo shoot. We're supposed to do a video.
I'd love to see you and Derek putting on makeup.
We're supposed to do a video thing soon. Are we going to do makeup for that, Chris? For the video promo we're working on?
No makeup.
Video promo.
It's up to you. I'm not putting makeup on you. If you want to come with makeup, hey, I'm not going to stop
you. Just like a little, what's that stuff you put on your cheeks, Emma?
Blush?
No, not blush. The other stuff. Kind of evens out your skin tone.
Like a rouge? Foundation?
No, not rouge. Foundation. A little foundation.
Yeah.
A little guy liner.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah, we can make that happen.
You do that on your end time.
Okay. We'll see about that.
Moving on. Anyway. We'll just leave y'all with that mental image there.
Me with guy liner. Yeah.
Please don't turn the show off.
Please keep listening to us. We need you. It's Wednesday. We got a good show today. We have a special guest on the show today, Emma. And I don't know if I
He's
guess...
the man yeah. behind the sandwiches.
The sandwiches.
Sandwiches.
And the coffee that I drink there quite often.
And the coffee. And that really delicious peanut butter pie.
Mmm, that's good stuff.
I know.
And also...
And the casserole.
Oh, yeah.
And the casserole.
Mama's chicken casserole.
Who is Mama?
You'll find out if you listen to the interview.
Okay.
With Jason Hayden. He and his wife Amanda own Cafe 212 downtown Tupelo. A place I frequent several times a week. And also, he's going to talk about the Mustache Bash coming up in a couple of months. So, lots of good stuff coming from Jason. We've also got Jenna Parsons on the show to talk food. And Joe Rutherford, our editorial page editor, is talking about the Lee County Library, which is celebrating its 75th anniversary this year. We've got a lot of events on tap for that. So, a lot of good stuff on the show. Let's get to it.
Shall All right, we? Let's go.
Okay, we've got a special guest in here. Not just a special guest, but a friend. Jason Hayden, owner of Cafe 212 in downtown Tupelo, along with his wife, Amanda. She's not here, but she's also...
She's here with us in spirit.
Yes. You're co-owners, I guess would be the way to put it.
I think officially you would say that Amanda is the owner and she allows me to work for her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well... She runs the thing.
Yeah, she runs the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You're just there to look pretty
and act like a clown in front of people for entertainment.
No, you work hard, man. I see you in there all the time. That's where I go to get my coffee. I've probably mentioned that on the show before. Best coffee in town, in my opinion. I know it's actually not a coffee shop first, I don't guess, because you're also known for your lunches.
Yeah, I'd say lunch is probably about 95% of our business, but we do a decent coffee business too.
Yeah, I'm in there several times a week, and I love your coffee selection. You've got something different every week, a couple of different types. Where do you get all your coffee from? It seems to
We get it from a couple of different places. Okay. High Point in New Albany. That's our primary roaster. And then there's another little place in Kentucky that we use.
Okay. And it's just all different kinds, too. It's really
All over the world.
Yeah. So, and then your mama's chicken casserole is one of the famous dishes. Whose recipe is that? Because I could eat that every day.
That is actually Amanda's mama's.
Okay, so it really is mama's chicken recipe.
Yeah, it really is.
Well. Yep.
Do that every Friday.
It's delicious.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll tell mama.
Please do.
Okay.
Pass my compliments to the chef, because whenever I get a chance to go over there on a Friday, I'm not going to order anything else. I'm going to get that.
Yeah, we usually sell all that stuff about 1 o'clock. We stop serving lunch at 2, so it never makes it the full time.
No, yeah, it's a pretty hot item.
Yeah, especially in the wintertime.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Okay. I threatened before the show that I could talk all show about this whole segment about Mama's chicken casserole, but I guess I'll not do that.
Yeah, we don't want to bore people. Should come and try it.
You should. You really should.
Then you'll understand why we can talk about it for 30 minutes straight.
It's a heavenly experience, is what it is. Let's talk about the cafe and the history. You got an anniversary coming up there, don't you?
We do. Believe it or not, this April will be 10 years for the cafe being in business in downtown Tupelo. I still can't believe it's been that long.
Give us a little quick history of how it came to be. I mean, is this something y'all were looking to do? And how did it become Cafe G12, where you're at, and all that good stuff?
Well, what it was Amanda's cousin, Robin Walton. Uh-huh. She had Yummy Yogurt back in the day. I'm sure some of y'all remember Yummy Yogurt. And she opened up a second location in downtown Tupelo. Uh-huh. And Amanda managed that place. So after a short time, she decided she did not want to have that second location. And she gave Amanda the option to basically buy all her equipment and start her own business. And I fought Amanda tooth and nail on not to do it. I didn't want to do it. I'm more of a play it safe type guy.
Yeah.
So, but eventually, of course, she won out. If you know my wife, you knew that she was going to win out on that. And now we've been in this for nearly 10 years, and it is the greatest thing I've ever done. I love it. I go into work every day. It's not really work. I love the people, and I can't imagine myself ever doing anything else.
Y'all really have what I'd call a family atmosphere. I go in there, and I mean, number one, I know everyone who works there because I go there so much, and there's a handful of people that work there, and I consider them all friends.
Yeah,
certainly. It's just a comfortable place to be, man. And not to mention the fact that you have great food and great coffee. I mean, I'm assuming that's what y'all are going for when you opened it.
Absolutely. We kind of joke around that we like try to be the Cheers of sandwich shops.
Yeah.
The vast majority of our customers are very regular.
Yeah.
I see people all the time that come in 3 or 4 times a week. At one time, we kind of added up, or I tried to count how many regular orders I had memorized, and I stopped counting at 200.
Jeez.
That's how often we get the same people in the cafe. We get a lot of new people, travelers and tourists as well because of Elvis.
Right.
But the vast majority of our customers are very regular.
Yeah, I would consider myself a regular, and it's funny you mentioned having all these orders memorized. I'll go in there, and 99.9% of the time, I'm just going to get black coffee.
Yep.
Whatever it is, the Colombian, the Peruvian, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, like, every few months, I'll come in without my mug, so that, number one, will throw off whoever's working behind the counter, April or Amy or whoever. And then, number two, I'll be like, oh, I think I'll take, like, an Americano or something. They're like, what?
Yeah. Who is this person?
What are you doing? Yeah, I'm splurging. Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's what I'm doing. So, but yeah, it's really cool. And you seem to be thriving still, despite all the work that's going on downtown. I was going to ask you about that. They're doing the Elvis Birthplace Trail and expanding the sidewalks, trying to make it more attractive to tourists and foot traffic in general. It's going to be a good thing, but I know it's been kind of a challenge, hasn't it, for a lot of the downtown businesses.
Yeah, and we knew it was going to be. For the most part, it hasn't affected our business a whole lot, except when we had, you know, the backhoes and jackhammers directly in front of the cafe, and it, you know, quarantined off from the rest of downtown. But over in the long run, it is going to be fantastic for downtown and all of Tupelo when it gets done. Our side of the street's practically finished. Yeah, it looks real good.
Yeah, it's starting to really shape up. You can tell it's looking nice. It's just good to see downtown continuing to get revitalized and built up the way it has the last several years. And it's really kind of cool the way the, if you want to call it, you know, you have the Tupelo spirit people talk about. I think you could even distill that down to the downtown area, the downtown spirit.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Or just the general local business spirit. Like, you, for example, you take the Neon Pig deal with the Best Burger Contest.
And, absolutely,
and you're actively campaigning for them, you know. It's a, I don't know that, I mean, you're a lunch spot, they're a lunch spot, both popular, so in a sense you're kind of rivals. They're not downtown, but still, that's kind of cool that that you did that. That seems to be a pretty common attitude amongst the local businesses.
Yeah, we definitely have a motto of just sticking together. And we know that we're not really in competition with each other because we feed off of each other.
Yeah.
And just our support for each other is just going to boost, bring us all up.
Yeah, yeah. It was really cool to see that. Of course, they won the contest, so.
Absolutely.
You deserve some credit for that,
right? Beat all these major markets. A little old Tupelo, Mississippi.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool. When Southern folks get together, we really take care of our own.
Especially when it comes to food.
Especially when it comes to food. Absolutely.
Yeah. I want to ask you about the I know people are probably looking forward to it by this point in the year. Maybe they haven't heard much about what it's going to be like, but the Mustache Bash is back again. I went last year for the first time and had an absolute blast. And people don't know what it is because it's still pretty new. So some people may not be too familiar with what it is outside of a certain circle of people. Kind of explain what it's about.
So Mustache Bash actually got started. Me and two other friends grew out these ridiculous mustaches.
I remember.
And we started having Mustache Mondays at the Blue Canoe. And we had a table. It ended up being about six people that would meet regularly. And people walk by and have this weird look on their face like, what are all these mustached guys doing sitting here drinking beer together? So just the interest, we were like, man, we need to throw a mustache party.
Yeah.
Like, just for fun.
Yeah.
And then all of our wives got involved.
Oh, boy.
And that's when it just turned into this bigger-than-life thing. We found a charity that we wanted to bring all the proceeds to, which is the Autism Center in Tupelo.
Yeah.
And so 5 years ago, believe it or not, we had our first Mustache Bash, and it was a huge success. We raised a good bit of money for the Autism Center, and we've been doing it every year. So this year, on March 19th, will be the fifth annual Tupelo Mustache Bash.
March 19th.
Yep.
Any other details you can give us, like where they'll have it? Last year, I know you had it at the Rogers Building.
Yeah, it's going to be at the J.J. Rogers Building again this year. It's and good. The theme this year is 70s funk.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
I know last year you incorporated the word beard into, which is appreciated by folks like myself.
And beards also are highly
encouraged,
as well as afros this year.
Afros?
Yes.
So I wonder if I could work on that.
Basically, any type of head hair is encouraged just to, you know, show up, be unique. And
be funky?
Be funky.
Yeah. Now I've got to think of what to do. Because, see, I've threatened to do just the mustache and maybe do kind of a handlebar thing, but my wife is just like totally dead set against it. I'm not sure if I could pull it off the way
I think you could.
Think so?
I really think you should do the thing. The sideburns just like grow into the actual mustache, so you just like basically just shave your chin, so you have a gap right there, and you just have sideburn connect to a huge mustache.
Just let the beard just kind of go a little fuller here.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I got a couple of months to figure that out.
You do, yeah.
Yeah. And one of the guys that helped you start that, I believe, was C. Todd Sherman.
That is correct.
Former Journal photographer. He's now
that is correct.
Down in Florida, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, C. Todd was one of those guys. And and in fact, he was back for last year's batch.
Yep.
So I don't know if he'll be back this year.
We are working on that right now, trying to get him up here.
Yeah, he's got a little farther drive. He was in Jackson this time last year, so he's got a little farther to go. So 70s funk is the theme. I mean, tickets are typically, what, $20-$25?
Yep.
Okay. And when do they go on sale?
They will go on sale probably within the next month.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got T-shirts that y'all be making up again?
Yep, we'll be doing T-shirts. Russell Stafford, Tupelo Screen Printing, he's on the committee. He's one of the founding fathers, quote-unquote, of the Mustache Bash. But he'll be printing all the shirts up for us.
I can't wait, because I went last year, because I had a blast.
Yeah.
I don't know
how we're going to top last year. I mean, last year was a fire breather.
You had a fire breather. That was
circus theme last year.
It was. I was standing there taking videos and taking pictures of this lady, because it was just amazing.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you had so much other stuff going on, too. You had Casey Dillard doing the hula hoop thing the whole night.
We had a unicyclist.
Unicyclist was there.
Yep.
Yeah,
several bearded ladies.
Yeah, including J.B. Clark.
Another
former Journal employee. Yeah,
we probably should have some pictures of him in a dress to post along with this podcast. I can come up with this.
We could do that. Yeah. I've actually probably got some on my phone of him in a dress.
Yeah.
From the Mustache Bash, not from another time.
Okay, gotcha.
I'll keep those separate.
Yeah. We won't show those.
Okay, so that's March 19th.
Yes, so Chris, you have plenty of time to grow your mustache out.
Yeah, Chris. Kiefer could probably grow a really thick mustache and or beard.
I think so, too. He's got a 530 shadow going on right now.
He does.
Yeah.
He's kind of like me. He's got the... He gets that 5 o'clock shadow by noon.
By noon?
Yeah.
I could do it. I could do it in a week.
Could you?
Yeah,
in a week?
Start yet.
Well, how's Deanna feel about that, though?
You know, I don't know, because she had said something in the fall that, you ought to grow a beard. And so it's like, all right, I'm going to do it. And then, because I grow it every weekend. I just don't shave on the weekends. And then Sunday night, I'm like, should I keep it? She's like, go ahead and shave. I'm like, all right. Well, I kind of just need that last push, and I hadn't gotten it yet. So.
Well, maybe in preparation for the mustache and beard bash, you can do it. Yeah.
I have a confession. Like, this what you see on my face, it takes me a good 3 months to get to this point. I don't have the strong facial hair genes that you men do.
Well,
so you got to keep it.
Yeah, I got to keep it. That's just year round. It doesn't leave my face.
Yeah, I got you. Mine can grow out pretty fast. So I'll have to come up with some ideas on what to do for the Mustache Bash. I mean, this is fine what I've got, but I can funk it up a little bit.
You could.
I could.
You have to really emphasize that in.
Yeah, you do. Especially if we want to keep our rating on here.
Exactly.
Yeah. funk it up.
Yeah.
Hey, a couple other random things I want to ask you about.
Okay.
And hopefully Chris won't cut them out, because we're going long here. I don't care. Alabama football, you're a fan.
Yes.
How you feeling?
Feeling pretty darn good.
Not one of those bandwagon fans, are you?
No. I've so, you know, I'm from Alabama originally.
Okay, what part?
Right around Birmingham.
Okay.
Was born there, moved here when I was young. My dad graduated from University of Alabama, and we found out recently that my great-great-grandfather actually sold some of the land to the university.
Wow.
So
you're like...
Deep ties.
You're like the opposite of all those fans who never even went to school there or anything and have no ties to the university.
Yeah.
You've got like an actual stake in the...
Yeah, I have family
physical
history.
University.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Also, Disney World. There you go.
Disney World, yes.
I enjoyed the pictures of y'all looking completely bored on the Splash Mountain.
Splash Mountain, yes. Yeah. Every time we go, it is not a little-known fact that I'm a huge fan of Disney World. I enjoy it probably a little too much. But one of the things we like to do every time we go is ride Splash Mountain. They take a picture right when you're at that huge fall and try to do some type of silly picture as we're going down.
Yeah.
And this time we just acted like we were completely, you know, bored on the ride.
My daughter did that on Tower of Terror when we went a couple of years ago. We knew where the cameras were, and she just did the deadpan.
Yeah. That's a totally lot harder bored. To do on. Tower Terror is intense.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I enjoy it. Derek Russell said he's not down with that. I don't think he went when he was at Disney.
Yeah, just what was it last week?
He was there like right after you left or something.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah, Derek was there. He got back last week. So anyway, people can find y'all Cafe 212 on Facebook.
That is correct.
And on Twitter, it's at Cafe 212.
Yep.
That's it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Great food, great coffee. And great to have you, Jason. I've been
great to be here.
You're like one of the first people I thought of to get on this show when we started the podcast. I was like, got to have that guy because that's where I get my coffee honored. All the time. Yeah,
let's do it again sometime.
We will, man. We will. Looking forward to Mustache Bash, and we'll have you on here again.
Okay,
definitely. All right, thanks, Jason.
All right, thank you.
Hey, I need to remind y'all about the other podcast we have here, produced by the Daily Journal. A couple of sports podcasts. We've got Prep Rally, the high school sports podcast. That'll drop today. A new episode coming today. May already be out by the time you're listening to this. It's going to be me and Kedrick Story. He's a guest hosting as Gene Phelps is out. Kedrick is our guy up at the Southern Sentinel up in Tippah County. Does a good job covering sports up there. So you can listen to that on iTunes, your podcast app, or at preprally.djournal.com. And tomorrow, we've got another episode of Double Coverage, Ole Miss and MSU Sports Talk with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. Going to be a good show. I believe I saw where Parrish had Tom Lemming, the recruiting analyst, had an interview with him. So look for that Thursday. You can listen to that on iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Time now for today's news memo. And for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant advocated for tax cuts and more school choice options during his State of the State address Tuesday night. Bryant spoke for nearly 30 minutes in the House chamber. He said the state of Mississippi is sound.
Former state prisons chief Chris Epps will be sentenced on April 11th. Epps has pleaded guilty to a kickback bribery scheme that allegedly netted him nearly $2 million. He was scheduled to be sentenced on Tuesday, but his lawyer successfully argued that he needed more time. Two businessmen also have pleaded guilty. Former state senator Herb Benjamin has pleaded not guilty and faces trial in April.
Tickets are now available for the Salvation Army's annual Empty Bowls event. The tickets are $15 each and are available at the Salvation Army's headquarters on Carnation Street. They will be available later this week at several businesses around Tupelo. The event is March 2nd. Attendees get one bowl of soup from one of the event's vendors, a piece of bread, and a bottle of water.
Saltillo residents are asked to celebrate their hometown with photographs on social media. A new promotion asks residents to use the hashtag SaltilloLife when they post pictures on Facebook and Instagram. The top three photos each month will be placed on the Saltillo Facebook page, and people will vote for their favorite. The winners will receive prizes.
And a new pizzeria will open in downtown Tupelo this spring. The restaurant will be located at 206 Troy Street in the building that was most recently Tupelo Sports Bar and Grill. It will use a wood-fired brick oven made in Italy and will serve traditional Neapolitan pizza. Owner Vince Rapisarda has not yet settled on a name for the restaurant. Hey, it's Joe Rutherford back on the show. Hey, Joe.
Good morning, Brad.
Good to have you back.
Thank you.
Need to have you on here more often.
If the price is right, I'll be here.
We got to start paying you extra now. Joe, you had a story. You do a lot of stuff with the editorial page, but every once in a while we'll see your byline in the paper, and it's always worth a read. You got something on the Lee County Library about the 75th anniversary. They're doing basically a year-long celebration, aren't they? What kind of stuff they got planned for this year?
That's correct. As a matter of fact, the celebration begins today.
Okay.
At their monthly Lunching with Books event. And today's celebration includes the rededication of the Helen Foster Library, which is where Lunching with Books is held, and the dedication of the Helen Foster Purvis Mississippi collection, the Walker McGill Genealogy Collection. And Helen Purvis and Helen Foster Purvis, mother, daughter, were both enthusiastic, relentless supporters of the library, and both were financial benefactors of the library, as were Jack and Frances McGill, who were almost limitless in their pursuit of genealogy, both personally and for other families. And mm-hmm. that collection includes books about genealogy and also their huge collection of certification as being members of heritage societies all over the world.
Yeah.
Later on, in April, I believe, they have scheduled a Helen Foster lecture, which is an endowed lectureship, and they will have the winner of the Newbery Prize, which is the equivalent of the Pulitzer Prize for children's and adolescent literature. And I can't remember that guy's name. I apologize, but he will be here to speak. And then later in the year, there'll be another Helen Foster lecture, and they don't know who that lecturer will be.
Okay.
But people should stay tuned for other special events, but those are the ones so far on the calendar.
It's kind of interesting, the history of the library coming into existence. I mean, going back to the late 1800s, he had a U.S. Representative, John Allen, had tried to get a library going, and apparently kind of the idea, I mean, it just didn't happen for whatever reason. About 50 years later, it finally happened, thanks to a Tupelo High English teacher.
Right, Emma Edmonds.
Yes.
That's right.
And her and some other ladies around town kind of got the ball rolling, didn't they?
Right. After John Allen made the offer of acreage on Main Street to site a library, the city didn't act on his offer to donate. And so the idea virtually died until about 1916 or so. And Emma Edmonds was an English instructor at Tupelo High School.
Yeah.
And she was equally passionate about a library that was open to the public. And there was room in the high school building, and she got the library started in an extra classroom. And just as a way of saying additionally who she is, the auditorium at Milam School mm-hmm. is the Emma Edmonds Auditorium. And it was the scene of many historic Tupelo theatrical firsts, including the first musical ever staged by Tupelo High School back in the early 1960s.
Wow.
And it's a very elegant, acoustically wonderful auditorium, but it's too small now for the school's use, except for the Milam School.
Yeah. I know Pied Piper does some stuff in there, too. I've been in there. It's very nice. I thought it was interesting, too, in the story you mentioned that George McLean, at the time the editor and publisher of what was then the Tupelo Daily Journal, wrote an editorial supporting the library and said, "Ladies, get that library."
That's right.
So,
and one of the reasons he may have said that is because his wife, Anna Kersey McLean, was among the, I'll call it the executive committee of women in the community who were pushing for the establishment of a library.
Right. Yeah, you hear a lot about the Tupelo spirit and such, and people just kind of drawing together to get things done. This is kind of an early example of that, Joe.
Yeah, I think it is. And, of course, that was also in the same era that Tupelo built a new hospital today, the North Mississippi Medical Center. So things were running high here in Tupelo despite the Depression. And Tupelo has always had a pretty vigorous civic will.
Right.
So they got their we got our library, and it's been in various places, including what used to be called the City County Building, which is now the Belfry Condominiums down by the railroad track.
Yeah.
And for a while, they had to go to places that were cheap and available. And then finally, the city bought the former John Allen House, the home of the guy who had offered the land in the first place.
Right.
And it was there for about 10 or 11 years, and then, 20 years. And then they built the library as it exists now on the same site.
Okay. Been around for 75 years. What do you think the future is for the library, Joe? We know a lot of libraries, I guess, struggle these days. I mean, you've got the internet and everything. Maybe people don't come read real books as much as they used to, but I feel like in this area, though, I mean, there's still a lot of value for a place like that.
Yes, and I think the Lee County Library has adapted very effectively to the digital age. They have several dozen computers in the library for the public to use, and they are busy most of the time. Margaret Gratz, who is one of the library's strong supporters, told me when I wrote that story that about an average of 800 people a day go into the library.
Wow.
That's not to say what they do, but they enter the building.
Yeah.
And often after school, all of the computers are busy because students are doing their research if they don't have computers
right.
accessible in their homes.
Yeah.
And a lot of business people go there because they keep a large subscription of business publications that are specialized and technical, narrow in appeal, but essential for some businesses.
I got you. Well, y'all can find this story in this past Sunday's journal or at djournal.com. And, a lot of stuff going on with the library this year to celebrate. That's pretty cool. Joe, appreciate you joining us.
Thank you very much.
And before we move on, I want to remind you about Thrive Marketing. Thrive Marketing is a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, Mississippi, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses. All right, now we've got Jenna Parsons here to talk about this week's food section. Jenna, you interviewed a cook of the week from New Orleans this week who just really loves New Orleans, apparently, according to this article, but, you know, became kind of a Tupelo transplant and but is a very good cook. So tell us a little bit about her.
Well, she was born and raised in New Orleans and always thought that she would live there. It was just in her blood. I guess once you've, as Chris would know, once you're from that area, it's hard to leave. And she met her husband there and they dated there and they married there. And so she's just thinking, well, this is the rest of my life, until he came to Tupelo. He's an OBGYN here, Wayne Slocum. And he came to Tupelo for like a 3-month little stint that he had to do. And he worked with the clinic here and he liked it and they liked him. And he came home and said, we're moving to Tupelo. And she had been here with him once before on a visit, and they had driven down Main Street. And, you know, this is 30 years ago. And she said they drove down Main Street, and she just looked around, and she said, Wayne, what do people do here? Because, you know, she's used to New Orleans. So she cried all the way here. But she said, build me a house that looks like New Orleans, and we'll stay. And he did. And they have, raised 3 children here, one of whom lives in New Orleans, so they like to go back and visit often. But she said she cooks a South Louisiana dish at least once a week, and that she's not very good at real food. She said if you ask her children what she cannot make, they'll say roasted chicken, which is something that we think is very simple to make. But she can whip up an etouffee or a jambalaya, pralines, just without thinking about it. And wow. She gets those dishes requested a lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what did she make when you went to see her?
She had made shrimp etouffee, and she had also made pralines, and she was quick to tell us that you never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, double a recipe for pralines. Because have you ever made pralines, Emma?
I never have.
Chris, have you ever made them?
Eaten them. Haven't made them.
Well, when you get it to a boiling, when you get the mixture to boil, you have to whip it really fast and it starts to thicken. And then you've got to scoop it out of the pot and onto the wax paper so they'll set up. And it's got to be done. You only have like a 1 or 2 minute window to get this done. And if you double the recipe, then you've got too much and it starts to harden. But she said people will often make the mistake and say, oh, well, if I can make 2.5 dozen in one batch, then I can go ahead and double it or triple it. And then they get into trouble.
Good to know. I won't make that mistake. I'll remember that.
No, you'll just keep buying them probably.
Yeah, or that. I'll probably just buy them. Okay. Well, sounds like she was quite an interesting lady.
She is very funny.
Good. And a good cook, so that's great. Now, let's also talk about this side dish that you made, an asparagus gratin and with Parmesan. Tell us about that.
Well, I decided to make a couple of dishes from a cookbook that my husband gave me for Valentine's Day last year. And one of them was a spaghetti carbonara, which is spaghetti, obviously. And then it's bacon or pancetta and garlic and cheese and a little white wine. And so the recipe, Marcella Hazan is the author of the cookbook, an Italian woman. And she said, it's best to use pancetta, but if you can't find it, then just use bacon. And I thought, well, I'm going to be authentic. So I spent the $8.50 on the pancetta. And the taste was like, I don't know, it was just, I can't describe it. It was just gamey. It was an off taste. And Charlie said he thought it was good. But I said, well, next time I make this, I'm just going to use bacon. And he said, yeah, that's a good idea. So I think it's maybe that we're used to that smoky flavor, and this didn't have it. But fortunately, I had made another recipe from her cookbook for an asparagus gratin, which could not be easier. You just boil the asparagus, and then you dot it with butter, cover it with Parmesan, pop it under the broiler, or 450 degrees. And it was just... oh, it was pretty, and it was tasty, and it was full of goodness. So it sort of saved the meal, I thought.
Yeah, I love asparagus, and I think you said right here, it keeps it at that vibrant color when you boil it,
right?
I've done that before, and I like it that way because it's pretty, like you said.
Otherwise, it can get kind of gray looking,
Kind of like soggy.
But asparagus is fixing to be back in season and will be much more reasonable than the $4.99 a pound I paid for it.
Wow!
So maybe this will give folks something to look forward to when spring comes.
All right. Well, thank you, Jenna, for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Another good show, Emma. You're doing a fine job here.
Thanks, Brad. She's trying to fill Derek's shoes.
Well, it's not easy, but between you and Lauren, we've got a pretty good stable here of backup hosts. Although, again, you know, I guess it's like 1 and 1A. You and Lauren and Derek, I mean, it's interchangeable. I guess I'm interchangeable, too.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I'm expendable.
Don't get too cocky there.
I'm as expendable as Derek, let's be honest.
I'd like to have a just me and Lauren show.
That would be good. We should do that. Yeah. I'm sure it'll come a time where Derek and I are both out.
Could both arrange to take a day off together and go, you know, hang out or something.
Okay.
Go to a movie.
We have to hang out? Can I just...
Well, you don't have to. Derek, this is how Brad really feels.
He's not listening. Only listens if he's on the show. No. We got another show tomorrow. I guess Derek will be back. We'll see. Unless you get in here first, I may just let you take it again.
Yeah. First come, first serve.
Exactly. That's how we're going to do it now. You get to work late.
Or leave your seat. If you're listening,
job's on the line, pal.
This is your last chance.
Anyway, let's remind y'all to follow the show on Twitter at DJournalMemo and send us an email, memo@journalinc.com, with your questions or comments. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. Emma is on Twitter at EM Crawford Kent. There we go.
You got it.
There we go. Chris Kiefer, our producer, is on Twitter at Chris Kiefer. Two F's.
That's it. Two F's.
Two E's. Okay.
K. Right.
One R. Okay. Cool. All right. We'll be back tomorrow. Y'all have a good one.